You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome you to this program that we've been sharing over the years, 20 years plus now, Raising the Standard. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, as we always tell you every week, to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God may tell you during this time. And so we're honored to be here with you, and it's a privilege to talk about the things of the Word of God, and we know it never changes. And we ended the program last week talking about present truth, and the Lord has been talking to me a little bit this week about going on and sharing some other things about present truth, because, you know, present truth never changes. But we see a lot of things, especially in the church as well, and things in the world, you know, they think that present truth is changing all the time, and what people believe and what they don't believe. But this Bible is present truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's still active today. So we're going to maybe talk about some examples in here for you today to let you understand some things. We have a lot of misnomers, I think. I hear it all the time on teachings and everything in the Bible, that they've mistranslated what the Word says. And we talked about that over Peter there last week in 2 Peter, that there's only one interpretation to every prophecy. And so we have a lot of this going on today. God wants to have the truth of all of it, and it never changes. And so everything that's been spoken by the holy prophets since time began will be fulfilled exactly the way it's written in the Bible. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to make up anything. We try to bring people's names from the past into certain scriptures, and it doesn't tell us that specifically to do that. And so what do we have? We don't have present truth. We have a little perversion of that, and God doesn't want that. So I'm going to show you a couple things here today that I think will help you understand this. And some things have been taught for years and years and years, and is it really the truth, present truth, or is it not? So we release ourselves to you today. Hope you have ears to hear, like we said, what the Spirit is going to say to you, not what man's taught necessarily. Now, man teaches a lot of good things, don't get me wrong, but there's some things that just, when I hear it, I have a little thing down inside that goes tilt, tilt, tilt. That's the Holy Ghost. Whoosh, mandorokosan, daraba. That's the Holy Ghost dealing with us when we hear things that we don't necessarily know that for sure that's truth. And so then we have a lot of perceived ideas about things. And so if you get my book, The Pictures of the Messiah, I got a couple of appendixes in the back. And a couple of them are things that it's been said in the Bible for years and years. And we look at the scriptures, and it doesn't line up with what God's saying in His Word. Somebody's perceived that thought. And for instance, like the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, all of a sudden we got all these different opinions. It's going to be Enoch, it's going to be Moses, it's going to be Elijah. God never mentions one name in those verses. And so how do we perceive that and make that up ourselves? See, when God wants you to know something, he always gives the names when things happen and all that. And so I believe it's going to be two very anointed men that will be raised up during Jacob's trouble. They'll have the same anointing and power that Elijah and Moses had upon them to accomplish the things that need to be done. And the Bible doesn't tell you it's going to be those two. But anyway, we have that thought, and it's been taught for years, and so a lot of people believe that. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to believe a lie. Do you want to believe a lie, Pastor Don? We don't. We want the truth and nothing but the truth. That's why Peter talked about present truth. We're going to look at that. So Don has got some things to talk about here about our Bible Marathon, honey. So you go ahead and mention those things before you do a little teaching here today.
So we'll say hello to everyone.
Hello, 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 yes.
And bless you all on this Saturday, this Sabbath day. This is the day to honor the Lord. Amen. And we do here at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mention, too, that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida at the Spirit of Prophecy. And we have a Friday night a Shabbat service, and that's at 7 p.m. in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we also come together on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and that would be at 11 a.m. So come and join us sometime and give us a call. I'm going to give you the phone number in just a few minutes. And I want to remind you, too, that the upcoming 17th Annual Bible Reading Marathon will start on November the 11th, which is Veterans Day, in Stuart, Florida, Martin County, and it covers the Treasure Coast. And that's going to be starting at 2 p.m. after the Veterans Memorial Celebration and Parade. And it's going to be in the Memorial Park, right down in the, at the Bandshell, on Ocean Boulevard in Stuart, Florida. So we need hundreds of people to call and to sign up for 15 minutes. And I would say, can you give God 15 minutes?
That's right.
It's a marathon. People ask, what is that? Well, what is a marathon? You know, you run and you pass the baton. Well, a Bible reading marathon is we start in the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
and every 15 minutes we pass the baton. Somebody else picks up where that person leaves off. And
mm-hmm.
There is a schedule, but if we have fast readers, we might be an hour or two ahead of time. If maybe sometime during the nighttime we have slower readers, or we have a group of young people, some people who don't read as fast, then, you know, some people would like to read fast, some people
mm-hmm.
read slower. I just kind of like to hear somebody, I don't really like to hear people read real fast, because
nope.
I like to really meditate upon the Word of God. But either we may not be exactly at that 15-minute slot where you're signed up to read, but we might be at that slot, or we might be faster, or we might be behind it. Or maybe we're behind an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So and no matter where we're at, everybody just takes over and reads for 15 minutes. And, of course, you can sign up to read for more than 15 minutes. And we certainly need people to come and help us oversee. And we need prayer people to pray for us as well. So the Bible says, what's it say over there? In Psalm, is it Psalm 1 that's on the proclamation? We have the proclamation from the city of Stuart and also from Martin County. Is it Psalm 138 too? Maybe you want to read that, Pastor Gene?
I think that's it, yeah.
And it talks about, you know, what the word is important. And this is our 17th year to read the Bible completely through from beginning to end. Outside, we're in a public park, and a government public park, actually. It's a government park, and we have the Ten Commandments there and the cross. And, you know, we thank the Lord that we are free to read these things. And perhaps sometime during this hour, I'll read the proclamation to you. It's not too long, but it's very important, because God's Word does not return
void.
Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord spoke to me many years ago when we first, the very first year, 2001, that this would be protection for our nation against
right.
terrorism. And we certainly do need that protection.
All the time.
And he also told me it would be a breaker's anointing. Well, I had no idea we would be facing Jerusalem. And also, by way of the Lord showing us that second day, that it also went right through the center of Afghanistan.
Right.
And I really didn't understand the breaker's anointing, because we weren't facing the United States, we were facing the ocean. But I'm reminded now, because I was praying about this morning, and one thing was the Lord told me about a breaker's anointing, and maybe I'll tell you what happened with the lady who came to listen, and she told me that she was a couple of blocks away and she couldn't sleep because she was hearing the Bible. So she came over there and she was crying, and she didn't want to read, because anybody can come and read. You know, even someone who's not saved can come and read, and you know, they might just get saved. Amen. Because the word is what does it.
Right.
But she was telling me how she was hearing the Bible and she just wanted to come and sit and listen. And this was like in, you know, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, and during the nighttime she couldn't sleep. And, you know, the Word will keep you awake, won't it, sometimes? And,
yeah.
And not that it was really, really loud, but the wind, the air and the wind was carrying the Word.
Carries the sound, yeah.
Carrying the sound. And so I was meditating this morning, And I got the word whence, and I thought, you know, I don't ever use that word, whence. And I looked it up in my
whence
Bible.
Whence thou goest.
Whence, and, you know, it's mentioned 69 times
in
the King James Bible. And one place which really kind of touched me, I thought about it, it's over here in John chapter 3. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. See, she heard the sound because the wind was blowing, carried it to her, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So I was thinking about the speaking the word of God, facing going to Jerusalem. And I thought, you know, then the Lord just spoke to me by the Spirit. He says, it will return from whence it came, or it cometh from. Mm-hmm. So even though we were speaking the word going totally away from the United States, it would return, it will return from where it came from whence it came from. So I thought that was pretty prophetic. Everything in God's time has a cycle. And everything returns from whence it came from. You know, we're going to be returning back. When we come to the Lord, we returned back to Him. And so we're going to be, we're seated with Him in heavenly places now, even though we weren't before. So I thought that was pretty strong. It's going to return from whence it came from. So the word is coming from here, from Martin County, from the Treasure Coast. And he said it would be a breaker's anointing. And so then the breakers, what happens? As you send forth the word, the breakers come back. And so I was seeing the breakers when this lady came. I was seeing the Lord brought her to where the word was. Even though the word was going that way, he brought her just towards the word. So the breakers will break over, like water breaks over, and will bring it back on the land of America. So we need lots and lots of readers. I'm going to give you the phone number now that you can call, and you can sign up to be part of the 17th Annual Bible Reading Marathon, which we have a proclamation from the city declaring this as Bible Reading Week. And, you know, we need to get back into the Word of God, and we need to get back to the truth, which is what Pastor Gene is going to talk about. We need present-day truth, and we need to return from whence we came. We need to go back to the beginning.
That's right.
And we have to go
that
back to
changes,
where
yes.
things started, and we need to follow the Torah. That's why we do the Torah study every Friday night, because we need to know about the law. And what is the law? The law is the Torah. And who is the Torah? Yeshua is the Torah.
That's right.
So we need to know the words of God and what God says. So I'm going to give you our telephone number. I know I'm talking real fast because I know Pastor Gene has a lot he wants to teach.
No, I don't.
So, so I'll give you the phone number.
Get done this week. We'll do it next week.
I'll give you the number kind of slow because we really do need lots of readers. We need your prayers and we need support. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. 007, and just call and say, I want to sign up to read. Mm-hmm. I want to be part of this Bible marathon. You know, people
Absolutely.
Come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And so I'm just pray, Lord, send them by your wind, the wind of your Spirit. Blow upon those listeners that are listening now and send them and let them hear the sound and let them come from wherever you would like for them to come from to be part of this Bible reading marathon.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Donna wanted me to read Psalm 138, verse 2. We have it on our banner.
Yes.
I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for, here we go, thy truth.
Truth.
This is part of, we're talking about present truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So God honors the word, which is Yeshua, above
his
name.
So read that again. We're speaking the word towards his holy his holy mountain, which is Jerusalem.
So I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. While I was reading this, I happened to scan over here to...
So the word is so important.
That's right. I happened to scan over here to Psalm 135. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on in the world and even in the church about anti-Semitism and replacement theology. Psalm 135 verse 4 says this, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself.
Yes.
What was Jacob's name changed to? To Israel. And Israel for his precious treasure. He'll never leave them or forsake them. Amen. So
stay tuned, and you'll hear, we'll read this Bible proclamation later, and you're going to be amazed, because this is received from our county.
That's right.
You know, a lot of counties are not receiving things.
Nope.
A lot of counties.
In the city, too.
And a lot of them won't even read proclamations out loud, because
nope.
They go forth over the television. You know, we have a television station here in Martin
mm-hmm.
County. And so we thank the Lord for our county commissioners, and that they have stood behind and they have declared a Bible reading proclamation every year, 17 years. We have 17 Bible proclamations from our county. And so it is a blessing to be here in Martin County and to have this going forth for the Treasure Coast and
That's
also
right.
for America. And we're
mm-hmm.
believing, we're praying that some people will come. Maybe our president will come, or our vice president will come.
Right.
We're praying that people, we will have people come, and we'll have veterans. There'll be a lot. It's Veterans Day.
I'll be there.
And there's a parade, and we honor those things here in Martin County, and we thank the Lord that God has placed us here, and we thank the Lord that God is using Martin County to bring forth truth. God is using Martin County to bring forth present day truth. Because we're reading the entire Bible, and we're not watering the Bible down, and we're not reading 100 different versions. We read out of one Bible. It's on the podium.
That's right.
We have a certain mandate of what God has told us to do, and one large Bible, large print, King James Version. And, you know, it's fifth grade, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
It's, you know, some of the other Bibles are eighth grade, seventh grade.
Yeah.
Well, the King James Bible has the least amount of syllables in it, and it's a fifth grade reading. It's what they used in the very beginning when they
mm-hmm.
used to teach children. Hundreds of years ago, the Bible was one that was the main book in the classroom.
That's right.
And so it needs to come back in the classroom.
That's right. It's amazing.
The Word.
Yeah, you think about it. It's... The King James is a powerful book. There's no question about it. One book, huh? One truth. That's the one we want, the truth. And it's also one book and one authority that God's given us.
That's it.
So I was talking last week a little bit about present truth. So I want to go back over to 2 Peter, where we kind of ended last week. And I want to show you a couple of things in the Bible. That I've never heard this taught this exactly this way. But you listen and see if you get anything from it. This is going to be from the Word of God. Chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to go down here and look at what Peter had to say with all this in 2 Peter.
2 Peter? There's only three chapters in 2 Peter.
Yeah, I'm in 2 Peter. Now,
which chapter?
Chapter 1. I just want to read one verse here to start with, then we're going to go on with it. Peter said, by the Spirit of God, whereby all of us are given unto us what? Exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Mm.
Okay, so we have God's divine nature, His DNA, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, into virtue knowledge, and all these things we talked about last week, so I'm not going to go through it again. But down in verse 10 it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here's the key verse. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in what? In remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Well, the present truth is an interesting word. Now, a lot of people think, 300 years ago, there was a present truth. Today, there's a present truth. Tomorrow, there'll be a present truth. There's only one present truth. And what Peter's talking about here is Yeshua HaMashiach, as the Messiah, came to die for all people, no matter what age they lived in.
Amen.
And that's what he was trying to establish, the truth. And then he goes on and does this. Now, we're going to show you something here also back a little further in the New Testament. I'm going to go to verse 4:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. So it wasn't something made up, was it? But we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So Peter was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when this was all done. He's going to tell you right here what he heard and what he saw. And this is present truth, and it's present truth today. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory.
Lord,
this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Wow.
And his voice, which came from heaven, we heard. when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day star dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. This is talking about Yeshua. And then he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So every prophetic word that's been spoken by a prophet, we take it literally. It has one interpretation, not 10 or 12 different interpretations. And so he's trying to show us it has to be present truth. Now, with that thought, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 16 with me for a moment. Hallelujah. This is all.
And it says here, the last one says, I like the last verse, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man.
That's right.
Not by man, but holy. But it came by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So the Holy Ghost moved, even in the Old Testament, moved onto people.
Kings, priests, and prophets. That's right.
And they spoke the word of God. And even think about it, the Holy Spirit can move on anyone or anything or any situation. What about a donkey?
That's right. A donkey spoke.
Yeah. God will use anything, anything.
Yeah.
Anyone to bring forth his truth.
So with this book we got in our hands, the King James Bible, we have present truth. It has never changed and it never will change.
That's right.
Although man has tried to do this. I took you over to Matthew chapter 16 here, and I want to read one verse to you here. A few verses. 16 verse 21 says, from that time forth began Jesus, or Yeshua, to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.
But so Peter was speaking from his mind, his emotions, from his feelings, the Spirit of God would say.
So in verse 23 it says, but he turned, Jesus turned, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. See, he wasn't Satan, but he was speaking on Satan's behalf. He used him. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things, what?
Men of men.
Now, the last verse in
men
chapter...
Men have different thoughts than God has.
They sure do.
And so many times we have our own thoughts, but that's why we need to seek God.
That's right.
And hear from his Spirit. And then we will know, we will speak present truth.
That's right.
A lot of times because we don't like what's being said, or we don't like what the Word of God says. Maybe we don't like certain scriptures in the Word of God because our lifestyle is, we want to live a different kind of lifestyle than what
conviction.
The Bible says. It brings conviction. So what do they do then? And you'd be like Peter, and they say, no, God doesn't say that, or God doesn't do that anymore, or God isn't that way.
Yeah.
So what do? They speak forth their words, the words of men. This is what you just read.
The truth then.
You said words of men.
Words of men.
Peter had words of his own. He had words of men. His words were not the words of God, because God had a plan.
That's right.
God always has a plan, and his plan was that his son would suffer and die, even though that is not what Peter liked. We don't like God's plan, but we have to listen to him, and if we pray and we seek the Spirit of the Lord will give us presence. He'll give us truth.
That's right.
Because truth will always line up with the Word of God.
That's right. Absolutely. It'll never fail. It has to line up because it never changes. Present
they
truth.
They come to agreement.
That's right.
Whenever there's not agreement, there's confusion.
That's right. We didn't have present truth 10 years ago and say saying today it's different than it was 10 years ago, because it's not. When in Matthew 16, the last verse is an interesting verse that Yeshua spoke here.
Mm-hmm.
He says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here that heard him teaching these things before, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now those men could not have lived long enough to see the kingdom of God come, because it hasn't come yet, right? And so what he was going to show them something in the Spirit. All right. Now we go into chapter 17. I like this. And after 6 days, this is a prophetic word about the 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth until this thing called Jacob's trouble all begins to start. After 6 days, Jesus taketh. Now look who he takes up: Peter, James, and John, and his brother. Now Peter just spoke over. We just read in 2 Peter what he had to say about present truth. Why? Because he was at the mount here. He talked about it in 2 Peter there. He was at the mount and saw these things. and heard these things himself. And so he's an eyewitness. And so James and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. His glory was released, and they saw a little bit of glory of the Messiah before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them, God allowed Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. So he allowed them to be able to see a glimpse of him in the spirit, of those two men. Then answered Peter.
And Jesus in his glory. Yeshua in his glory.
That's right. Jesus was in his glory. And so then Peter answered, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. So they thought they were in, he thought they were in the kingdom of God, because tabernacles is what is a pattern of the kingdom of God that's going to come. So he thought they were in the kingdom. He says, let us make these tabernacles. And it says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were afraid.
Sore afraid.
And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So the Moses and Elijah disappeared.
They were gone.
Now,
but isn't it interesting how Peter, you know, how Peter tosses back and forth. He goes from one moment he's in the spirit, and the next moment he's
in the
flesh.
That's right.
And even back in 16, where you were saying, you know, when Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Peter, by the Spirit, knew who he was.
That's right.
He knew who he was, because it tells us that there in verse 17 and 18. He says, I unto say, he says, thou art, he told him that, you know, that he would give the keys of the kingdom and all, because Peter knew. And then Peter rebukes him, you know, and God, I mean, then he says, you know, basically rebukes him, and Jesus tells him, and now, but yet Jesus takes Peter, as Peter's one of the three that go up there, and now they want to build tabernacles. But see, God's not into building tabernacles here on earth.
That's right.
Is he?
Nope. Where are his tabernacles now?
He wants to build his tabernacle in people.
That's right.
Right.
So I'm going to read this again.
But I think that shows how much God loves Peter, even in the scripture where he said, you know, how much do you love me? You know, he asked three times, he asked him that. So that shows how much God loves us, even though, you know, we do go back and forth in the spirit to the natural. Well, we are natural beings here on this earth, but, you know, God wants us to seek the spiritual things.
That's right.
Because the spiritual things is what will line up with the Word of God and will line up with His truth.
That's right. Now, I just read verse 8. I'm going to read it again in 17. It says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only.
Mm-hmm.
So it means Moses and Elijah disappeared in this vision.
They were gone.
And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes and that Elias or Elijah must come first? See, Peter's asking this question. He was here. He saw this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's asking basically, what was the purpose? What was you showing us here about this? And verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias or Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, as it says in Malachi chapter 4. But now the Jewish people have an interpretation that's going to be the original Elijah. He was caught off the earth, that he's going to come back at the end of days. Well, now, the Bible doesn't specifically say that, but that's what their thought is. Well,
but that was the original Elijah
that was
standing next to him with Moses.
Right.
It wasn't John the Baptist. It was the original Elijah that was there that had died how many years before that?
Long time before
many,
that.
Many, many years before that.
That's right.
And, you know, I thank the Lord because, you know, when Elijah died, he left, he gave a portion, he gave a double anointing to who?
To Elisha.
To Elisha.
That's right.
And, you know, and when Jesus left to go back to the Father, he said he gave us all power and authority.
That's
so
right.
So to me, that's more than a double anointing,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
That's
because
right.
we have the power, we've been given the power and the authority if you go and read what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, then Christians should be overcomers.
That's right.
We should be overcomers in every area of our life. We should apply the things that it says over there in Ephesians chapter 6 because, you know, Jesus died and he's at the right hand of the Father And he has given us all power and authority.
That's right. So this is an interesting thing here that Peter's asking. Why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come? And so the Jews has taught that for years and years and years. But if they make a right turn and come into the New Testament, they find out something different here that we need to study. Now, either this is the truth or Jesus was lying, okay? So I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to just read what the Word of God says for all you listeners. So you can look it up for yourself. Now, if you have the wrong translation, you might get the wrong definition with it. Listen to what it says. Jesus answered and said unto them, to who? To Peter, James, and John. Plus Peter as well. He was there. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now listen to what the Lord said. But I say unto you, this is in red, brothers and sisters, that Elias or Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, just like they didn't know Yeshua, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed or desired, in other words. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Hear this? Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And if you don't believe this, you can go over and read Malachi chapter 3 about the messenger being sent before. All right, this is about John the Baptist. So Jesus is saying that John the Baptist is the Elijah that's to come. We call him, was he a great prophet? Go read Matthew chapter 11, how great a prophet he was, John the Baptist, okay? So this clarifies some interesting things we think about this. So how do we deal with this? This got to be the Elijah that was back in the hundreds of years ago. Jesus didn't say that in his day. He said what? I'll read it again. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and he's already been here, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. What did they do? He got his head cut off, didn't he? Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Pretty strong, isn't it, huh?
Pretty strong.
So that's one thing I was thinking about today, about present truth. So Peter knew, it was at this Mount of Transfiguration, he knew that Yeshua was truly the Messiah. That's a truth that's never changed. He died, rose from the grave for all mankind, that our sins could be washed away, and we could walk in a new way and be in the kingdom of God someday. That's present truth, and it's never changed. But we got some groups, some false religious groups, trying to tell you that's not true. And so my question is, why don't the Jewish people in Israel and in America understand all this? Because they won't look into the New Testament to find out what this is all about. Now, I'm going to go over there to Malachi. Let's read this. I'll just read to you.
You know, while you're going there, I was just thinking, as you said that, about John the Baptist, and as far as I know, he was the first one to be martyred, to die, have his blood shed.
Who?
John the Baptist,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. For our Lord.
That's
well,
right.
Then I think about, they says that the blood cries out, right?
Right.
And who was the very first person to die that the blood cried out for? Cain killed his brother,
that's
Abel.
Right. That's right.
And so that is in the very beginning of, mm-hmm. of the Bible. But yet here we have now in the very beginning of the New Testament, the first person. So these people are around the throne crying what? And many, many, many other martyrs crying. They're crying out for what's the word?
How long
is it going to be?
To come to
so,
the end.
So as you were reading that, I thought, well, you know, here is Abel, and here's John the Baptist.
Right.
I mean, they're right there. Maybe they're right there together. The Old Testament saint, who was to carry the lineage down to through Christ, and here we have John the Baptist, who was the one who carried the message.
That's right.
Who carried the message and who baptized people into righteousness, you know. And so those two people, their blood's crying out.
That's right.
Plus many others. But here, to me, I see an Old Testament saint, and I see, what I would call a New Testament saint.
That's right.
That together there, and their blood is crying out, and they're together. They're one.
That's right. You're absolutely
wow,
right.
That's awesome. So plus there's hundreds and who knows how many thousands of millions of others.
That's right.
Crying out for and what about all the little babies that have been killed throughout time?
That's right.
You know, there were babies that were aborted and killed and sacrificed to Moloch in the Old Testament.
That's
those
right.
Those babies, that blood's crying
it's
out.
It's crying out.
The blood that has been shed. That's
all in unrighteousness,
Throughout the world,
mm-hmm.
on God's holy ground, on this ground that he created, there's blood that cries out. You know, the blood never dies, does it?
That's right.
It never dies.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So I took you over to Malachi
the life is in
chapter
the blood.
3. That's right. That's what the Bible says. In chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Behold, I shall send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Well, this is John the Baptist, but also Yeshua's in this verse as well. Mm-hmm. "And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come in the Lord with, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth?" Was that talking about John the Baptist? No, it's talking about Yeshua. "For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." So I thought about this. When John the Baptist was baptizing all those people, read about over in Matthew chapter 1 over in there, he looked up and saw the Messiah coming, and it tells you in John that he never knew him, never knew who he was. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin." He came down and got in the water with Yeshua. Here they were, the messenger and the one he was talking about, standing side by side. Isn't that amazing?
And they were related.
And they were related. That's right. And so it's an amazing picture. But here, chapter 4 of Malachi.
Imagine what John the Baptist's life must have been like all those years until he came to this.
That's right.
This water.
Living in the wilderness.
The kind of life he had, you know, because he was totally
sold out to God. That's right. And then when he told...
I'm sure he was made fun of a lot.
Sure. Then we told Herod he shouldn't be married to a particular woman. Well, of course, he got mad. And what did he do? He had him beheaded and had him bring his head on a charger in before all
he
the people.
He was a holy man of God.
That's
he was
right.
a prophet.
That's right.
John the Baptist is a prophet.
Yeah. And all John told him was, it's not legal what you're doing. It's illegal according to God's word. Well, how many people do we have to do that today? Say, well, what you're doing is not legal with God. Well, this is the year 2017, Pastor Gene. Things have changed. They have not. Present truth has not changed. Everything that we talk about on Friday night in the Torah, the spiritual truths that come out of all those commandments and teachings and statutes and judgments are all active today. They're still present truth. Now, we don't do a lot of the ceremonial things, but the spirit behind them all has never changed. It's the same thing.
So John the Baptist, he spoke truth.
All the time. That's all he spoke was truth. He never deviated from what the Word of God said.
No, he didn't compromise.
No, he didn't. And we have a lot of compromise in the church today. You know, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to accept a same-sex marriage and people living together, not being married, and a lot of other things that we're accepting today because we think that things have changed. Present truth never changes. That's what we're trying to convey here with you today. Now, in Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 5, it says, "Behold, I will..." This is the last two verses in Malachi. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Well, what Elijah will that be?
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
But we
I'm
got
not
a,
going to say. We'll
but,
find
but,
out.
But we got a clue over there where we were at in Matthew chapter 17. Because the Lord told the disciples everything. He said, and they said, wow, this is about John the Baptist. He was the messenger that was going to come and what? And reveal the true Messiah of the world. And then it says in verse 6, "And he shall turn." Turn.
That's the key word right there.
They're going to turn. That means they can be returned, or it means they can be restored.
What's
he shall turn the heart of the fathers to
back
the children,
to the children.
Back to the children. And the heart
and
of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So we know that there's going to be a prophet during Jacob's trouble in chapter 11 of Revelation that's going to be exactly be doing this for 3.5 years. So we see all this fulfilled if we look at it in what happened.
So it's not so much who the person's going to be, it's what's going to happen.
What it represents.
Right, what it represents, and what the person's going to do. Whether it is the original Elijah or whether it's a spirit of Elijah that's going to be in another prophet. Because there
right.
are going to be two prophets in the last days.
That's what it says.
Well, and you know what? We probably won't even know before it happens because we will, according to what we believe, that we will be caught away.
Resurrected.
So we will be in heaven, and we should be able to see all these things. It's like in the theater of heaven.
Yeah.
You know, God sees and knows everything. So we will be as he is. It says we will be as Yeshua is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we will be there in that arena. That I think about it as a huge theater. And, you know, what I saw one time was a long time ago was the when you read about the floor or the foundation being like a crystal or like a glass that you could see through, so and where you could even walk on it, you know, you're not going to go through it or not, but it'll look like you're walking on open like air. but it'll actually be a solid something like mm-hmm. a golden river, but something you can see through. This mm-hmm. is what I kind of saw in the spirit, and you'll be able to see, and it'll be like a magnifying glass, you know, like they say from the satellites, they can see a penny down here on the earth. Well, we will have such perfect eyes that we'll be able to, maybe we'll be laying on this sea of glass, and we will be able to see and watch what's going on.
That's right.
And maybe we will be crying, because it's going to be terrible what happens mm-hmm. here on the earth during those 7 years. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say that, well, at least I believe that it says that we're going to be protected from those things.
Yep.
That we're going to be
Hallelujah.
We're going to be hid away.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to be hid away, we're hid with Christ, if we're caught away, we'll be in that heavenly, it's to be like an arena, a heavenly realm, which is so immense and so big.
That's right.
That, you know, we can be able to see and look through this glass or this crystal sea or whatever you want to call it, and be like magnified, and even be able to see out into far space.
That's right.
It's going to be amazing.
Beautiful.
And to see the beauty.
That's right.
But yet also to see and to be able to have, you know how they bring something real close and you can see, and to see what's happening in the earth, and to see the earth rotation, mm-hmm. see the rotation of the earth. And to be able to focus on, maybe you're focusing, you'll see a place in Israel. Maybe I'll see a place in Colorado, you know, and people will see places all over the earth. We don't know, but it's going to be, we're going to be protected, and we're going to be able to see much of what's going on, but we're not going to be here on earth to be in it.
That's right.
We're not going to be caught up in that whirlwind, because it's going to be, we'll be in a place of peace and rest.
Hallelujah.
But yet we will know, because it says we're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to know things. We're going to see things.
Right.
And we will have that understanding. But yet we'll see all this others. It's going to be like this wind that I read about in John. It's going to be turbulent mm-hmm. of the things that are going to happen here on earth.
Well, we know that. During those years. Yeah. So I'm going to take you over to Revelation chapter 11. And by the way, this is not Revelations. There's no S on it. It's one revelation given from the beginning to the end through John, the apostle. And I'm going to go to verse 3 and 11. And he says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So when God mentions 2,360 days, he's talking to the Jewish people, that 1,260 days.
So how many years is that?
Three and a half years
Three
on the Jewish calendar.
Years.
Right. All right. So he says the two. Now he doesn't mention the two. He don't mention any names here, does he? So how do we assume all this? Now listen to this now. These are the two olive trees. And what does olive trees produce? What? Anointing. So they're anointed. And the two candlesticks, which is a picture of the light of Yeshua, I think, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And we got proof of this with some scriptures in Jeremiah chapter 5 and 2 Kings and all, what could happen. Now verse 6, these have power, what? These two witnesses, to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues mm-hmm. as often as they will. Now remember this, if this was Elijah and Moses, did Elijah and Moses have the privilege to smite the earth with plagues? No, they did not. Okay? They did not. I'll say that again. They did not.
But if it is them,
well,
God will give them the power.
Yeah. Well, but I truly believe it's going to be two men God's going to raise up for this purpose, and they're going to have this anointing.
Do you believe that they are two Jewish men?
Well, sure.
That really know
sure.
the Word of God. They really know.
Oh, yeah.
They know the Scriptures.
Sure.
They know present truth.
Yeah, they have to be. I got a book I read by Arnold...
Kutchenbaum,
mm-hmm. and he's got a great write-up about this, and he believes the same way I do, that it's going to be two different people, Jewish men, that's going to be raised up to accomplish this. Now, let's go on. And when they shall have finished their testimony, which will be for 3.5 years, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, who's that? The false Messiah, or the spirit behind him, I should say, it won't be the false Messiah, it'll be the spirit behind him, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. So they're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, that can be none other than what? Jerusalem, okay? Now,
that's right.
Hallelujah. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Amen. So that tells you whoever's in charge at that time, the false Messiah, it cannot be a Jew, because they would never leave a body that long laying in the street. That'll be a clue right there. So I believe it's going to be a Muslim cleric, someone well known that will become the false Messiah. Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And the great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, just like John heard in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
Resurrection.
That's right. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake there were slain of men 7,000. Maybe this is going to be the earthquake that's going to knock down that mosque on the top of Mount Moriah there. The second woe is past, it says, okay? And the third woe comes.
It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be a terrible time. That's right. And so here we see exactly what's going to happen with all this.
Praise God.
God's making it clear. But is he don't tell us who these people are. All he says is there's going to be two men, okay? And like I just said, Moses and Elijah never brought plagues upon the earth. That was not their function. They were to preach, okay? And so we see this here, and it's going to come to pass one day, and we're going to know. And I believe from my study and my pictures of the Messiah and all, I believe that this is going to happen in mid-tribulation. They're going to be killed.
What about the plagues that came to Egypt that Moses brought by God?
Moses didn't bring it. God brought them.
Well, but he used the vessel he used was Moses.
He was the one to tell them what was going to happen.
Moses and Aaron.
That's right. So this will happen in mid-tribulation, and they're going to be killed in the streets and lie for 3.5 days. This is an incredible pattern here that we have, what God's going to do in these days when it comes. And so as we understand this, it's amazing just to think about what's going to happen. And they're going to be resurrected before all the people's eyes. Be on CNN News, Fox, they'll all be able to see these two men raised to glory.
If we still have TV stations, we know the satellites may have been already knocked out of the sky.
Yeah.
God only knows. We don't know all those things.
That's right. Hallelujah. So I believe they're going to be killed at mid-tribulation, which would be the Passover season. And then we go 3.5 days, what do we come to? We're into, with the appointed times, we'd be into what? Unleavened bread and first fruits and all that. And so what happens? They're resurrected during first fruits. Trumpets again, right here. It's revealed right here. And so it's amazing when we look at what God has. But we got to look at every single thing. We can't take something out and perceive that this is going to happen, or this is who it is, or all. And you know, people take these words over here about let's see, where's that? I was looking at here. Oh, verse 4 of chapter 11. These are the two olive trees. So they take it back to Zechariah, talk about the olive. Well, we know olive trees what produce anointing, okay? And the two candlesticks. And so we have those little bowls on each side of the candlestick that the oil continually is being poured into and standing before the God of the earth. So who are those two men? We don't know, and we never will. But we're here until the end, but we got people preaching who they are. Some people think it's a Moses and Elijah because of the transfiguration. Some think it's Enoch, okay, and Elijah and so on. But think about this. Here we are. We got Elijah was caught off the earth. He never died. He was caught off the earth. And God's had him sitting up there with him all these years, and all of a sudden, here at the end, he's going to send him back to this earth in a mortal, physical body to do something for 3.5 years for him. Then he's going to kill him at the end of that and then take him back to heaven. There's nothing in Scripture reveals that. So how do we come up with that? Well, if you're caught off the earth, you're caught off the earth. Amen? Enoch's not going to come back. Enoch's going to come back, not come back either, okay? So we have to look at those things and just, do you want the truth? Present truth is right here in this book. But we can't perceive things and add to it and make it and tell people what we think. It doesn't matter what I think. When I wrote this book, I didn't put anything in there that I thought. I just took the things I understood from the Jewish writings, from the Holy Bible, and that's what we put in that book. So we want present truth and nothing but the present truth. What is the present truth? Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the Messiah. He came from heaven. A lot of people can't even comprehend that. He was born of a virgin, never had a relationship with a man. Born of a virgin. And his name was, she called his name Yeshua. And so he came to this earth. He died for all mankind, and he went back to heaven, didn't he? But is he going to come back in a physical body again? The Bible doesn't. He's going to come back. He's in some supernatural body. Isn't that true? He was transfigured. We saw this in Matthew. But when he gets resurrected, he's going to be put into a supernatural body. We will also when that day comes, when the catching away and the resurrection comes. So he's going to be not a physical body necessarily, but a spiritual body is going to be at that particular time.
A new body.
A new body like we're going to have. It will never die. We'll live forever. And so we got to keep that in mind. And people take that scripture out of Hebrews. It says, it's appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. Well, there's some exceptions there. Think about this. How about when trumpets come and the resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away comes, we will not die. So how can they pick on that one scripture and say that's what it'll be? Because there's going to be a group of people. 1 Corinthians 15 makes it really clear. There's going to be a huge number of people that will be caught off this earth and they will never die. Hallelujah. I pray that we're in that group. Hallelujah. But if we're not, it doesn't matter because we'll still be in the kingdom of God.
But
if we're
resurrected. What? The dead will rise first?
First. That's right.
And then those that are alive will
remain.
We'll meet them in the air.
That's right.
And they're not going to go ahead of them or behind them.
That's
they
right.
will meet them in the air. And so shall we always forever be with the Lord.
Now we do have some people in the Bible that died and came back to life and had to die twice. How about Lazarus, right? He died. God used it for a purpose. Brought him back to life. And then what? He lived the rest of his life. I don't know how long it was. And then what? Then he died. How about all the people that Jesus raised from the dead? Same thing. They were alive at that time. And then later on, they had to physically die again. So
but, you know, the point is what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and not to have debates or arguments. Because, you know, there's people who will debate who Jesus is. And they're still saying, because he says, don't go out into the desert. Because there's going to be people, and there have been people who said that they're Christ.
That's
and
right.
And there's somebody right now who says he's Christ.
That's
he's Jesus.
Right. That's
so
right.
There's many Jesuses. We need to know.
A false Christ.
And so when you use the word Jesus, his real name is Yeshua.
Right.
That's his Hebrew name is Yeshua. But when you say it, I love the way Jonathan Cahn says it. He makes it quite clear what Jesus he's talking about.
That's right.
He says Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says the Messiah.
And he says Yeshua.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeah, right.
He makes it quite clear.
Who it is.
Which Jesus are you looking to?
That's right.
Because a lot of people will say that there are many ways to heaven and that there's
That's
many
right.
saviors and they don't have present day truth.
That's right.
So we need to know the truth and because the Bible says the truth will make us free. And so it's knowing where we're at and what time we're in. And we are in the days it talks about of you know, when God destroyed the earth, which is what we're reading in the Torah now, when the flood came.
The flood came.
And God started all over again with a whole new group of people, eight new people.
Because of all the wickedness.
Because of the wickedness that had happened. And today it's like it was in those days.
That's right.
And
might
and
be worse.
Great, I don't know if it's worse or not, but great wickedness is on the face of the earth, and not just in one country, but throughout the nations. So we want to also mention too, Pastor Gene, that we want to speak the word, and we are speaking the word of God here in Martin County, and God spoke to us by the prophetic word that it would be protection for us. And because God's word will protect us. It will keep us.
That's right.
It says he'll guard our backside even, our rear side.
That's right. See, when we read the Bible or we pray the word, this is present truth. It's never changed and it never will change.
That's right.
But a lot of people think it's already changed.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
That's
right. Donna was going to read something from the proclamation.
Yes, I'm going to read this. This is before the Board of County Commissioners in Martin County, Florida, a proclamation declaring Bible Reading Week in Martin County, Florida. And it says, whereas the Bible is a fundamental part of our heritage and is the basis of our inalienable rights, serving as the foundation of our laws, we're talking about Torah, our national character, and our system of values, and whereas President Andrew Jackson called the Bible the book on which the Republic rests, God gives us rest, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And President Abraham Lincoln called the Bible the best gift God has given to man. And historian credit President George Washington with identifying the United States as one nation under God. I got goosebumps. And whereas the Bible has been the foundation for the many blessings from God that we have enjoyed in the United States, may it remain our standard. And whereas over 150 years ago, the great American scholar Noah Webster wrote, "All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible."
The present truth.
"Now, wherefore, be it proclaimed by the Martin County Board of County Commissioners that the week of November the 11th through the 15th, 2017, is declared Bible Reading Week in Martin County. Further, the board encourages participation in the 17th Annual Bible Reading Marathon being held at the Banshell in Memorial Park, a 90-hour continuous read through the entire Bible, lifting up the Word of God, the Word that created our nation, and the Word that continues to strengthen our nation."
Hallelujah.
"Duly adopted this 10th day of October 2017, and by signed by Doug Smith, Edward Campy, Ed Fielding, Harold Jennings, and Sarah Hurd. Praise God."
Hallelujah.
"With the seal."
With the seal of the county clerk.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to close with this as we talk about, we're talking about present truth. That word that Yeshua said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 17, he says, what the disciples understood from all that was that he made it clear that John the Baptist was the Elijah to come. So how do we handle that? So we got a lot of things we have to think about. And does it really matter that much, you know, fuss about it? But the important thing is it's going to happen whether people believe it or not. And some people are going to be in total shock when they see with the belief systems that they have, that they've developed over the years from perverting the Word of God instead of taking it for what it is. What I got in my hand here is present truth.
Amen.
And God honors His Word.
Glory to God. Above
His own holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's how important it is. So we love you all. We've been on this program for all these years. And the reason is to raise the standard in the body of Christ and to encourage you to be a Berean, to study the Scriptures, to see if these things be so.
So call this number. I'm going to give you the number.
Yes.
Call this number so you can be part of this Bible marathon. And you can read, come and read for 15 minutes. Amen. Or longer. The phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So we've been on.
Call right now.
And call right now.
Amen.
We're honored to be with you here today. So as we close this program every week, we're honored to be here. Of course, we want you to know that we're doing this because we love people. We want to see the standard raised. And the standard we have to have is what? The Holy Bible. It's present truth. And so we hope you receive something for your own life to know what God said. He meant it, and He wants you to apply it to your life.
Amen.
That you can grow and mature in the things of God. So as we close the program, we tell you every week to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy. Thank you.